good to be alive and well. And you know, you're called for a day like today. You need to think about that. You're here for a reason. So we just thank God. Let's take a second. Welcome our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us. Seriously, if you can come to Christmas Eve service, you want to come to that. Just, you know, just bring some friends. If they don't go to church, but they'd come to that, it's 1 hour, really. And we really keep it at an hour. And there'll be, you know, we'll have some cookies and stuff out so they can grab a cookie and obviously coffee. We may even have hot cocoa. We might do that. Maybe we should do that this year. There is also a drama, a Christmas drama presented by 180 Youth will be on Christmas Eve. Also, the Sunday before Christmas Eve, it'll be presented then as well on the 22nd of December. So bring as many people as you can to those. This next year, we are really going to go after it for the Lord. And so we're looking for people that want to be plugged into what God is doing. If you have skills, we want to know them, if they're good. good skills. But we're gonna begin to coordinate a lot of different things that will happen for not only outreaches for our city, but just in general for the inner body of Christ, different small groups and things besides the ones that are meeting now, and just challenging and fun things. More guests coming next year. Different variety of things that are happening to kind of hit everybody's palate, so to speak. But who we really want to serve is Jesus. That's who we want to do. That's like, Lord, who do you want to come? Who do you want to minister here? We have a gentleman that he put on my heart. I reached out to him. He's coming next month, at the end of next month, and he's coming for a healing seminar. On the Saturday night, we're going to have service, and the Sunday morning. His name is Chad Gonzalez, and he'll be here. He's been with Andrew Womack and just an incredible Holy Spirit healing ministry, miracles, all kinds of things happening. He's agreed to come. And so I said, let's not just do one day, let's do two. So let's do a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. So you may be here late Saturday night. Hey, we'll make it happen. It's going to be incredible. I want this place to be lit up this year for the city. And I say that, and you're like, okay, I get it. But no, really, something else. I've been seeking the Lord for a long time. Like, Lord, what do I need to do? What other thing can I do? How many knows God has a plan? Did you know there's fragments? The disciples didn't even see fragments because they weren't used to fragments. But then God said, gather the fragments, and there were 12 baskets. We don't even look at stuff like that. And I'm saying, God, am I missing something? Here's something that I'm going to be doing. I've already checked with the city. I don't like our parking lot. I mean, I like it, but obviously we're going to get it repaved and all that, and we'll be talking about that here before too long, but it's so dark. There's no lights in it. You know, we bought this from the Moose. They didn't care about, I guess, lighting the parking lot, and I'm not cracking against them. There were no lights. So I checked with the city. What do I got to do to get lights? They said, check with your carrier. So I'm going to get a hold of Ohio Edison and see if we can't get some lights in our parking lot so y'all feel a little more safe. Plus, the people going by and going, oh, look, there's a church there. I don't think half the people know we're here. But they will. They will, because the light that's on the inside of you is going to get out. And Jesus is alive and well. We're excited about what he's doing. We've already sent one check to the architect. He sent back first drawings of the entryway, and then we're going to be meeting with him here. I don't know if we'll meet with him, hopefully before Christmas, and go over some things about those drawings. So I'm not real happy with some of them, but that's why we do that. Because I just want it to be like, ooh, this is what we want. I don't see exactly what we want yet, but we're going to talk about that and get that stuff on the plans. That'll hit the vision board out front where the TV's at, the brown board, get a couple scriptures on there, and then the vision of what's happening with that entryway, parking lot, and then we're already in contact. We're going to believe God for an incredible Kids Town transformation in the future. But how many knows God is capable to do all and everything? And he's going to use all of us to get it done. So if I had seatbelts, I'd tell you, buckle them and hang on, because it's going to be a good ride. I want to talk to you this morning about being surrounded by God. being surrounded by God. There's so much happening in our world right now. Things are coming at you from all directions. I mean, as a kid, when I grew up, life just seemed like it was simpler. I mean, if you think about, how many are Andy Griffith fans? You watch Andy Griffith, it just seems like, how tough is that? You know, Barney, Goober, Gomer, Andy, Aunt B, you know, there's just not a whole, I mean, it just, life was just seemed simpler. You'd go to bed, you could leave your door unlocked, you could leave, you know, your windows open and all of that stuff. Maybe you still can, you know, God's protection, we'll talk about that in a second, but it just seemed, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I lived for commercials because that's how you knew what the toys did. There was all kinds of toy commercials. And man, that was like, that was it. And then the catalogs. Remember, we used to get the catalog. We'd always get the toy catalog. You can still get a toy catalog, but man, when I was growing up, they didn't have all the lights and the whistles. We made all the sounds. I had a lot of fun with that. I remember, how many remembers the plain G.I. Joe? I had one. I made my mom make a superhero costume for him just so I could put him up in a tree and shoot him out with a BB gun. Then they came out with G.I. Joe with the lifelike beard. Oh, that was cool. He had a real beard. I remember feeling his beard like, that's real. I dreamed a lot as a kid. But we just live, you know, things are coming at us. And now today, it's just, there's so much because you can, with a click of a button, can almost go anywhere, check something out. You can ask Google anything. In your house, you can have Alexa. You can have Siri. You can have whoever. Now they're coming up with more. Hey, ask Gigi. Ask Gomer. Whoever. Everybody's got something. And, you know, you can just, it's an information where we can get so much information. If you have any kind of ailment, you can be an internet doctor. Find out about, you know, people like, I just know I'm dying. Don't believe everything you read. They just think because it's on the internet, it's got to be true. Just like wrestling was real. Somebody's going to get mad at me for that. It is real. Yeah. So anyways, there's so much. It's coming at us from all directions. And sometimes you have to make quick decisions, decisions that are, you don't really have time to think, you just have to make a decision. Whether, you know, if you're, how many shop the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday? Remember it was just that Friday? Now it's Black Friday week. Used to be, and then you'd go out, I watched people steal things out of people's carts, and I would say something to them, and they would be like, or they just wouldn't turn around, just keep running. Or you're going in and you can't get your cart around. Kim would have to be honey, because I'd say, you know, excuse me, can I get by? Or they just bang you in your cart, and I'd say, oh, pardon me, and I'd just let my mouth do. And she'd be like, you're not helping spread the love. I was going to spread the love all right. So, you know, there's so much stuff. God, how do we handle it all? How do we make those quick decisions on, you know, what do we do? How do we buy that? Or do we rest? Some of us are afraid to rest because if it gets too quiet, we might have to think. And some of us don't like what we think about. If we stay busy, we don't think about it. But anyway, we all want to make good choices. I think everybody wants to make good choices. Are we by ourselves? Do you feel like I am the only one in my family that just makes good choices? I'm not in my family. I have a family that they do make good choices. But if you're out there and wherever you work and you feel like, I've had people come up to me and say, PB, you got to help me. I need a new job. I am the only believer in my job. That's why you're there. Because you're supposed to be spreading the gospel. So show them what that's like. Make those good choices. Even when you think you're alone, how many knows you're not alone? If you have Jesus Christ, you are not alone. But things come at us disguised. Real motives are hidden. Double meanings. The enemy does have an agenda. You almost need to know who's on your side. We just came through an election, and that's why it was important to know what the candidates even stood for. Because you want to know, hey, if I'm voting for you, I want to know what you... Are you telling me the truth? Who's got your back? Who can you trust? What kind of security system is needed? I just was behind a truck the other day and he said, I don't call 911, I am 911. That's what the sticker said. I was like, okay. We moved into our new house. It has a security system already installed. Vector. Sounds kind of, I am Vector. But it's elaborate and it's cool. I mean, it's like windows, doors, everything. You hit this button, and if I hit stay or away, and I open the door, I found that out, I get to talk to the sheriff. And the police. And the original owner. Found that out real quick. Zach came to see the house, and I'm going, and here's my barn. My phone just went, and the sheriff's like, hello, is there any problem? Is there, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And then for the next half hour, I'm trying to tell everybody, I'm alive, it's okay. Do you need a security? You know, if I could play a song right now for just 10 seconds, which I didn't give him an idea, or I would have, I would play the theme to Ghostbusters. He doesn't have time. He's looking. I didn't give him any time. But, I mean, who are you going to call? It ain't going to be Ghostbusters. If you need really, I mean, if you're needing help and you're needing, you know, hey, God, I just, don't call Ghostbusters. They're not going to help you. The system that you need has already been installed. I like that. I was writing that down. I'm like, that is so cool. My security system has already been installed. So this is what I feel like. Mission Impossible. Bum, 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 bum. Ba-da-doo, ba-da-doo. You know, those kind of things. This is your job. If you choose to accept it, that's the criteria. You must choose this system. You must choose to use it, accept it, activate it. That's how the system works. You are the one that activates it in terms of God's already put it there. I don't have to beg God to act. He's already done it. He's already acted. What I have to do is I have to choose to receive what he's already done. If he's already put it there, have you ever told your children, use this and give them a tool? I don't want to use that. Trust me, use this. I don't want to use that. And you just be like, I've done this before. Please just use this. My boys, I taught them how to shovel. There's an art in shoveling, by the way. I made a lot of money as a kid in snow shoveling, raking leaves, snow shoveling, mowing yards. Anybody with me? That's how I made some money. Snow shoveling, I learned you can shovel smarter or shovel harder. Be smart. You can be a smart thinker. Yeah. So I learned how to shovel drives, walks, how to make it easy to make the shovel do the work, and I could do it in record time. So when my boys were growing up, we had driveways and stuff to shovel, and they're, They liked playing in snow, but they didn't like shoveling snow. All good. I said, look, we'll be done with this in no time if you listen. And so I gave them a shovel. I took the biggest one. And they're like, I don't want that one. I gave them the choice. This shovel or this shovel? This one was a snow shovel. This is a horse pooper scooper shovel. And they're like, I don't want that one. That's not a real snow shovel. I'll take this one. Good for you. So I took the other one. I would put them together, and I would give myself as much or more than them, and I would beat them every time. And they'd be like, what is up with that? You got to learn how to shovel smarter. So I'd teach them how to shovel. Then they're like, hey, can I use your shovel? And sure, I don't have any problem with using the shovel, but it's just a matter of, like, if I can show you something that I know it works, why wouldn't you do it? Unless it's just, I just don't want to. And then that's a pride issue. And you know, pride's not really that good, is it? So we have to choose to use what God has given us. We have to choose to be protected and surrounded by God. We choose that. That is my choice. I have a free will. I choose to follow Christ. I choose. We talk about offerings and all that. We choose. We take it out of this system. We choose by our authority to put it in another system. My will, my choice. Did you know obedience keeps his protection? Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Doesn't mean you can never mess up. That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to be perfect. What I'm saying is, this is about your heart. This is, I just choose to follow God. I choose to do what he asks me to do because I love him. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Kings. God tells somebody, he tells this guy, he says, I want you to go here. I want you to stay put. I don't want you to leave. And another guy's there, and he says, listen, I talked to God, and he told me, you're supposed to leave. I'm just condensing it. And the guy goes, okay. And so he leaves, and he gets killed by a lion. And people are like, that's not right. If he had listened to God, he would still be alive. Not today, because it's thousands of years later, but you know what I'm saying. We can't quote scripture and expect it to work when the one who wrote it and created it is telling you something that's always in the bounds of that scripture, and you go outside of that and do it different. And then we expect it to work, and then we blame God. We blame God for crop failure, and we never even put seed in the ground. What if God's given you an assignment, or he wants to give you another assignment, but you're not listening? We have choices. I want to look this morning quickly at three things that we can choose to be surrounded by God. I don't know about you, but I want to be surrounded by God. The Bible's filled with accounts of supernatural protection for God's people. It's no problem for God to bring you out of the fiery furnace. I mean, do you ever think about that? Those Hebrew children, three thrown in the fire, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. Remember that song, Maddie? They wouldn't bow. Anyway, so they go in the fiery furnace. I often thought, wouldn't it be cooler if every time the guy tried to light the furnace, God goes, just keeps blowing the match out or however they light it. They can't get it lit. Why even go in the furnace? I don't have those answers other than God's not concerned about it because those that believe in him, the fire's not going to touch them anyway. So they just say, you know what? This is the parameters. God will deliver us. And they go in there. The Bible says they see four. One walking around like the Son of God. They come out. They don't even smell like smoke. It's no problem for God to get you out of a fiery furnace. It's no problem for you to be thrown in a lion's den and God said, the lions aren't hungry today, Brett. That's not a big deal to God. He can do anything. He's proven time and time again he's well able to get the job done no matter what the circumstances you're facing. But God's protection is not always automatic, is it? We have choices. There are things that we do. Obviously, Jesus has already done. Somebody say amen to that. He's already made the provision. He's already got the system there. But we have to choose to turn the system on. We've got to choose to say, okay, God, I believe you. I don't have to understand it all, but I have to just trust him to know that he's got it. I want to be surrounded, so I have to make choices for that to happen. If I choose to not follow God and live in sin, I probably won't live a long and healthy life because I'm not following the plan. It's in the Bible. If I choose to follow the devil, guess whose reward I get? His. You know what that is? Shake and bake. That's not good. And I don't think that's something you want, any of us would want. Here's what we want. I want to be like the person in Psalm 91. That's what I want. Made the choice to dwell or abide in the secret place of the Most High. That means to be, if I'm dwelling or abiding, I'm covered, I'm surrounded. I told you the story last week when I told you at one time the guy was yelling at me and I took Sam and I just pushed him behind me and stepped up in front of the guy. You know why? Not touching my son. surrounded by God, surrounded by his protection. If I live there, I'm protected. There's promises in Psalm 91. I love that. My dependence isn't on man. My dependence is on God. It's not on anything man does. My dependence is on God. If you drop the ball, God's bigger than the ball. He's bigger than that. He'll find someone else. He'll do something else. It doesn't matter to me. That's his concern, not mine. Mine is to stay protected in the security system. I'm fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. I stay there because, you know, you can have an umbrella. It can be pouring, as my mother-in-law would say, it's pouring the rain. That's what she'll say. It's always pouring the rain. I went to the Walmart. So, Charlotte, I know you're watching me right now, and I love you. She would always say, it's just pouring the rain. You can have an umbrella and it be pouring the rain. You can do this. You can be Gene Autry any day of the week. Dun, 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 dun. You can do that, and you can get wet, or you can choose to stay dry. If you want to stay in the security system, your obedience is you doing what the Lord says and staying where he wants you. His shadow surrounds you. The good things of God, the blessings, the deliverance from the curse, you know, those are for the people that obey him. I mean, he died and did it for everyone. But the people that experience the blessings are the people that are saying, I'll do that. God, what do you want me to do? I'll do that. When God tells us to do something, there's always something good that follows with it. He's a blessing God. The enemy is the one that steals, kills, and destroys, not God. But if you seek him and you follow God and you obey him, and again, doesn't mean that you never mess up. I got that t-shirt. But he still loves me, and there's still grace. There's still mercy. I mean, if my kids ever messed up, I don't say, you're done, you're out. Don't ever come back here again. You never do that to your children. If they mess up or if they fall down or they... You know, Zach used to all the time. He's a milk drinker. He would drink milk, and he'd go to Mama Bowling's, as Arrow would call her, Mama Bowling, chocolate milk. She'd have to buy chocolate milk. So Charles and her buy chocolate milk. But he would drink milk. If it was milk, he drank it. But I'm telling you, growing up, every time we sat at the table, he was so in a hurry to get food or whatever. I'm sorry. I don't know how many times Kim cleaned up milk or I cleaned up milk because he was sorry. And I'm like, we're going to give you food. It's okay. I mean, you'd think because they're boys, like we never fed them. I didn't eat it. But we're like, it's okay. Smaller bites. You can't fit all that in your mouth. Yes, I can. Cleaning up grace and mercy. Here's a true statement, though. If you separate yourself to God, you'll be separated. If you separate yourself, you'll be separated. You make that choice. I can't make the choice for you. I could force my kids to do, you will do this. You know, like the little boy that says, the teacher tells him, sit down, and he wants to stand up. And she makes him sit down. And he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Okay, this is about your heart. This is about saying, God, I just want to do it. If you say it, I don't even have to. There's stuff I'm like, I don't even understand. Or maybe you're going, I don't even know if I agree with it. If God said it, I agree with it. I've had people get mad at me. I had a guy at Honda wanted to fight me because he's like, can you explain dinosaurs? I don't know. Can you? I'm asking you. Okay. So I said, can you give me tonight to pray about that? And I'll come back with an answer tomorrow. He said, you're on. Okay. I went home thinking, I'm toast. I don't know. I mean, it's obvious dinosaurs were here because we have the bones and all that stuff. And how am I going to explain that? I don't know. So I went to God. I said, God, I don't know how to explain that. Here's what he gave me. Here's what I told the guy. Are you ready? I told him, I'm not telling you. No, I didn't tell him. I said, let's talk about creation. I want to talk about dinosaurs. Okay, dinosaurs were created. Let's talk about that. But let's talk about Adam. Let's talk about Adam. He said, all right. When God created Adam, yeah, how old was he? I don't know. Take a guess. I don't know. Was he 6 months old? No. Was he a man? Yes. How old? Let's say he's 25. Okay, he's 25. Okay, so when God made Adam, we're just saying we don't know the actual age, but we know how old Adam lived, according to the Bible. But let's just say when he was created, he wasn't created a baby. Let's say he's 25. He said, all right. Had Adam been alive for 25 years? He said, no. Had he walked on the earth for 25 years before he was created? No, but his bones would say he was 25 years old. So he's doing what you're doing to me right now. Just going, I said, although he had not been around for 25 years, if we were doing a study of him, we'd say, Adam's 25, but he just got created. He goes, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't have all the answers, but I know the one that does. And so I want to be surrounded by him because he has my best interests at heart. If I separate myself, I'll be separated. If you separate from evil, you'll be separated from evil. Does that make sense? If you choose to say, I'm going to follow God and I'm not going to do this particular or this, you will separate yourself by your choice and make a difference. But it doesn't just happen. You have to choose. Living your life on purpose in God and for God is the only safe place to live, especially in the world today. When we're obedient, we have promises of protection if we follow the Lord. Protection is for the one we've made up our mind, we've chosen to walk with God, and we live surrounded by him. I don't have to know all the details, just I'm surrounded. Now, this is a year deer are always out. I'm a deer hunter, and, you know, I just talked to my barber the other day, and he just decided to kill a deer with a school bus. He showed me a picture. I said, did you keep the deer? He goes, wasn't much left. I said, well, what about the kids? He said, they thought it was cool. It's like speed bump. Anyways, I one time I'm driving down the road, and it was foggy, and he couldn't see too far in front of you. And I'm going 55. And then all of a sudden, there are like six deer standing in the freeway. They're just standing there. There is no matter what I do, I don't know that. I remember hitting the brakes. I remember this is what came out of my mouth. Jesus! And the next thing, the deer were gone, and I looked behind me, and they're still standing there. I went through them like you'd pass through a wall. I never hit one of them. I didn't swerve off the road. I didn't go off the road. It was too late. I was like, oh, why? Because he protects me. I didn't know that was coming up, but he did. I just called out to him. The Bible says he hears when we call out. And I just did it out of reaction because I'm surrounded by his presence. There's books that are about God's protection for people that seek him. The books are called the Tehillim. Tehillim, T-E-H-I-L-L-I-M. There's a special translation of Psalms, commentaries by Jewish scholars. And one of the books, it says this, when a person is resolute or determined, sold out, dedicated, single-minded, his faith recognizes God's presence everywhere. He's protected from all sides. Basically, he is surrounded. How powerful that is to know that God promises to take care of us and surround us by his protection. So our first thought today, and I have three of them. It won't take very long. You're thinking, oh, I thought you were done. Just getting started, but it's not going to take that long. It's 11:22. You'll be out of here before tomorrow. Promise. So, but we all are accountable for the choices we make, aren't we? Here's our first one. I want you to think about what you say. These all are going to start with think. Think about what you say. Choose to speak right. That's not always easy, especially for me. In the past, it has not been easy for me. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you, as soon as you get tripped, your mouth wants to say a lot of things. Let me tell you. Sometimes you're like, I don't even know where that came from, but I liked it. We say things and it feels good when they come out, but you can't take it back. Sometimes we say things we're not really thinking about. Think about what you say. Choose to speak right. The important thing to notice about Psalm 91, the writer speaks his faith. He starts talking about the end result. If you read that psalm, the end result, not what your five senses tell you. Speak what you expect. Kim corrects me on that. I need it. This is what he declares. I will say. You hear that? I will say. So he's saying, you need to be saying this. This writer is saying, I have to say this. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. On him I lean, relying in him, I confidently trust. That's in the Amplified Bible. That's why I'm saying it louder. But here it is in the New King James. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. It comes down to you. This comes down to you. This comes down to you. It's whose authority are you believing? Whose authority are you declaring? Whose authority are you standing under? Whose authority will you say and believe? Whose authority will you pull the force that is behind that? Faith has to be in two places. It has to be in your heart and in your mouth. Actually, when you're born again, you have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You've been given, also the Bible talks about this in the King James, you've been given the measure of faith. Not a measure, the measure of faith. So you have to activate it by believing you receive when you pray. You agree in your head with what the Word says in order it to be in your heart. And you speak that agreement out of your mouth. Faith is voice activated. I've told you that before. Not just words. Believing words. Words that you know are true because they're Bible words. Matthew 18, 19 says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So it has to be in your heart so much that it's part of you that it overflows. Just like I could have called out, Buddha! Deer meat. Muhammad! Deer meat. But in that situation, without even thinking, I called out, Jesus. I didn't have to call Scott for an insurance claim. It has to be in your heart, so it's overflowing. And that comes by spending time seeking God in his word. Matthew 12, 34, this is Jesus saying, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God is saying, making God the one who you depend on for your safety and your protection. Let it come out of your mouth. I heard my wife the other day said, we're not dependent on anything but God. And I'm like, man, you go. Yesterday was her birthday. And I wrote out a little note to her, and I wrote it out a couple days prior, said, I am so blessed and so proud of the woman that you have become. Because that her whole life revolves around what God says. That's what she is. That's what she's about. But it has to get into her so that it comes out of her mouth with belief and authority. And when you have that, when it's believed, you received when you pray, power, manifestation comes with it. Do you know that your words frame your world? If you're sitting here going, I don't know, Brad, I'm never going to have anything. I don't know why it's not working for me. You just said why it's not working for you. Your words frame your world. Think about what you say. Say it in faith. He is my refuge and my fortress. Trust God and say so. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What's that mean? When you give your heart to Jesus, you got redeemed. You got bought back by the blood of Christ. Then say something. He's put the security in place. But you got to activate it. When you dwell in that secret place, declare God as your refuge, lean and rely on him. Here's the result. Psalm 91, 3 and 5. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. It gets better. It goes on in verse 6 and says, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion, the cobra, the young lion, the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Is that not worth an amen? I mean, God is just saying, call out to me. I'll take care of all that. When you know the truth and you put your trust in God, you don't have to be afraid. My little grandson, Arrow, we got, you know, in this house, the downstairs basement is the kids' play area. But there's a couple windows, but it's a basement, and for the most part, pretty dark. And he says, Potts, I'm not going down there because I'm scared. And I just tell him, you don't have to be scared. And I said, you want to know why? And he says, why? I said, because God is with you wherever you go. You don't have to be scared to go downstairs. You don't have to be scared if it's dark outside. It's okay because God is, he's the light inside you. Jesus is with you. He can beat anything. Why am I telling him that? Because he's hearing it from his mom and his dad. He's hearing it from his other grandparents that are with us today. He knows that, but it needs reinforced because there's choices that little guy's got to make. He needs to know there's people that love Jesus with all their heart, and they believe everything Jesus says. You know, if it says, you shall not be afraid, did you know fear has to go? Fear is not from God. Fear is from the enemy. Here's number two. Think about what the word says. So first you're going to think about what you say. Now you're going to think about what the word says. You can't just play church anymore. I mean, you can. But you have to meditate on the word. I have people say, that's a big word. I don't know how to meditate. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. If you're worried about something, you're thinking about it. That's meditate. So meditate on the word. Decide where you're going to dwell. Decide what you're going to give space in your brain to think about. Take those other thoughts that don't bring you peace captive. Choose to be covered. Choose to be surrounded. You know, if you're sleeping and it's wintertime, because it's winter now, and you're laying there and you're thinking, hey, I'm cold. Cover yourself up with a blanket. Do you just go, beep, 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 and the blanket appears? I don't know that there's a Jedi that lives in your house. No, you're going to have to get up, make the choice. I'm cold. I don't want to stay cold. I'm going to get me a blanket. Why? Because it doesn't just happen unless you activate it. I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to put action with it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to cover myself. Choose the Lord. Choose to be covered. Choose to be surrounded. Put your trust in him. If you can't do that without accompanying action. Did you know that? If I'm going to say I trust the Lord, you're going to do that by acting on it. Well, how do you mean? I'm just saying, everything that comes in my house, we're going to tithe 10% of that on the gross. Does that work out in your bills? I just trust the Lord. I'm going to put action with that trust. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Spending time in the word. When you spend time and you start listening to God and you're spending more time, you become fully persuaded. Give me fully persuaded people. You know what fully persuaded is? When I met this woman, nobody had to say, you need to go over to her house. I was over at her house. She would have had to tell me to go away. I'm glad she didn't. But she went on vacation.
I went on vacation.
She said, you can come up and visit us. And I was like, it was already done. In my mind, I'm going to find the money to drive my Jeep up to Port Clinton to go to be with her family for a day or two on vacation. Why? Because I made that choice. I was fully persuaded. I was within the first week. I'm probably telling them too much. But she's like, probably. But since I'm up here. In the first week, I had asked her, I asked her dad if I could ask her to marry me. In the first week. You might say, that's quick. Well, yeah, I guess. But now we didn't get married for a year, but I asked in the first week. And if she calls my phone, right now the ringtone is the song by Lionel Richie I proposed to her on. I'm not going to sing it for you. What I'm saying is, I was fully persuaded. I told her, it was as if I knew her all my life, and it was everything was different. Now, I say all that to say, it's not like she was my first girlfriend. She wasn't. But something was different. Something inside was like, this is her. And so I knew that my concern was that she would be like, you're a nut. Go away. But she didn't. Because that was my concern. She could have anybody she wanted. Why would she, you know, and the enemy just played at that. So I'm just like, okay, I'm not doing that, Lord. I'm going to, and I just felt, and the rest is history. 39 years later, we're still together. I was fully persuaded. My heart had peace instead of fear. What are you going to do? I don't know how we're going to do it all. I just know I don't want to do it without her. That's how it needs to be with God. How are you going to do it? I don't know. I just don't want to do it without him. I think it's good to seek God first thing in the morning. I mean, that's just my personal. But sometimes if you work third trick, your morning is different than my morning. So, you know, whatever it is, but just put God first. And you'll find that in all the other time, it'll make a difference. That's our responsibility. Seek God, always. The Hebrew word for seek is doresh, D-O-R-E-S-H. Comes from the root word meaning to tread or frequent. The Hebrew seek means to ask diligently, inquire, require, or search. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. You may observe to according all that's written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. The NLT says, study this book of instruction. Continually meditate on it day and night. You'll sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. What's that mean? It means that you believe what the Bible says and you apply it to yourself. Make it work. Think about it. Say it. Research it. Pastor Gary says, become a spiritual scientist. Why did that work? When that miracle happened, what made that happen? You start looking at things, not in doubt, but like, if I could reproduce that, God, show me how that happened so I can see it in my life. Are you with me? If that person got healed or this thing multiplied, how did that happen? I want to know so that, God, I can do great things for you. I can lead many people to you. Stay in the will of God. Grow in God. Listen to him. Spend time with him. Get him involved in all your life. See, God isn't a vacation spot. He isn't just some place I visit when something goes wrong. That's where we live. In him we live, we move, we have our being. That's our heart. That's how he tells me what to preach. I go and say, okay, I mean, a week ago, or just days ago, I told her, I don't even know what I'm speaking on. But that's where I get my stuff. I get it from him. He leads me somewhere. I look at that. I study it. I look at it. I pray about it. I meditate on it. I think about it. And I start putting it, deciphering through the Brett sieve, so to speak. How would I preach? God, how do you want me to say that? If I wasn't preaching, I'd still be seeking. Because he's God. Do you understand? I look at, you know, I see Rob Schreck, he's a plumber, but he still loves God. Doesn't matter what your occupation is, preacher, plumber, they both rhyme with P. I mean, you know, start with P. No matter what, insurance salesman, Scott, you can be a police officer, firefighter, retired this, retired that, whatever. Seek God. Put him in your life. The Holy Spirit will give you insight and understanding. And that word gets in you. That's what comes out. Man, people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. You can be a garbage collector. Jeff did that for 30-some years and still loves God, serving God today. That's my brother-in-law. You know, they're in this room I'm looking right now. There's Mr. Miyagi's in here. Mr. Miyagi was what? A maintenance man at the apartment complex. Oh, wax on, wax off. It's who do you report to? Who do you respect? Who are you surrounded by? I want to walk in his best. I want to be able to bless people. I want to live my life on purpose. Our last point this morning. First, we're going to think what we say. Think about what the word says. And then think about what that means to trust God to protect you. Think about what that means. David studied God. He put his trust in him. Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield to me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. If you look at David's battle history, he didn't find security in the armor or shield. Remember, they tried to give him Saul's armor, and he said, I don't want it. He only found security in God. And here's a fun fact for you. You know the Star of David? It's also called the Shield of David. It's got 6 points. It's associated with his life. Because David saw himself enveloped, covered, and vulnerable from every side. North, south, east, west. Above and below. 6 directions. Guess what that is? Surrounded. That's how David viewed it. He would cry out to God, protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. You see, that protection's tangible. We just think it's like reading Aesop's fables. This Bible is not Aesop's fables. This Bible is truth and life for those that find it. There's health to all your flesh. It is in the Word of God that you live your life on purpose, recognizing the power of God, the protection of God, walking in it, live it. The Bible says the just live by faith. When we walk with God, we are encircled, encompassed, covered, overshadowed by his goodness, protection. We are surrounded by God. Help me. 25 of Psalm 12 and 13, who is the man that fears the Lord? He shall teach him his way. He chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. That's good news. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy, because we have a refuge in God. Psalm 5, 11 and 12. But let all who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. 5 of Psalm 11 and 12. The Amplified says it this way. But let all who take refuge put their trust in you. Rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy because you make a covering over them and defend them. Those who love your name, be joyful in you and be in high spirits, for you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous as with the shield. You will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. Your blessing and your circle goes wherever you go. It surrounds you and protects you. I love this because in the beginning, now listen to me, and I'm just about to finish this up. In the beginning, every house we bought, we would go and I would do this, and Kim would do it with me, and I'm not against this. If you feel the Lord wanting you to do it, you do it. We would take oil and we would anoint every door, every window, every closet, every opening of that house. I would walk through and I'd put oil on that and I would pray and I would declare, God, this is your refuge, this is your house. And that's all good because I could hear myself do it. I could see the protection of the Lord. But I got it even further now. I got a little more revelation now. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I don't have to go to every window. I don't have to go to every door. I just have to show up because God is inside me and he's coming out of me all over the place. And so when I'm walking in the house, God is walking in the house with me. I don't have to slap oil on everything. He's already got it covered. because he's protected me. That system is already activated. Psalm 1:5, the Amplified says, "The Lord is my refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent, he hides me." Ephesians talks about picking up the whole armor of God without just reading all of that. We've heard all of that. It's worth reading, but right now, due to time, we put on the whole armor of God. Because that whole armor, you know, really the armor, if we're just doing physical armor, it's just the front. But the whole armor of God surrounds you. It's everywhere. The Hebrew word for armor implies circle. You're completely covered, circled, surrounded by God. Psalm 91:4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, under his wings you'll take refuge. The truth shall be your shield and buckler." It's so important to be a student of the Word. It's not a casual thing. I can tell you for my wife, that's what she lives by. If she's not talking to me, she's talking to God almost all the time, or the kids. That's it. You know, like, I'm like, I want to watch Rocky. She wants to go watch a podcast. That's how spiritual more she is than me, okay? Absolutely. Understanding, I respect her for that, and I do watch podcasts as well. But I'm just saying, she is a student of the Word. She hates the devil. Can I tell you, she hates the devil. Did I tell you that? She hates the devil. That girl will work her neck, snack her finger. She'll put him in splinters. If she can get a hold of him, woo! For me, I agree with that. But I will tell you this, who you see up here is who you see at home. If you came to my house, I am the same at home as I am here. I mean, I tried being somebody else. It didn't work too well. For real, I did. She's like, no. Just be you. But you see, the Word is life. In 2020, I had a heart attack. She used the Word to keep me alive today. She stood on that, trusted that, reversed things that were happening. You have to have, listen, more than head knowledge of what the Word says. You can know the whole Bible, but if that's all you know is the Bible, you just know it in your head. You can live in a grocery store and die of hunger. You still have to go eat the food, but you know, I'm not eating. Nope, there's no food here. It can be all around you. You have to use your heart, what you believe. This is about your belief system. If God said it, show me, Lord, I believe it. See, I don't have to know how dinosaurs got here. Okay, they're here. Great. How do you do that? I don't care. He did it. I just gave you the answer I felt like he gave me for that guy. And I shut him up real quick. I didn't talk to him for a long time. He stayed way away from me. I'm sure he had fun with that, but it's your belief system. You have to believe you receive. That security system, that surrounded system is already intact. You just have to flip the switch. Make the choice. See, the Word is precious treasure. See everything that the Lord says is for your good and begin to walk in it. I mean, there's times I've told you when I walked up, I've never seen an unfroze lock. I told you that last week. Come undone. But yet he told me to do it. Okay. See, that's sometimes we just get stuck on words. Oh, that's just words. But faith has accompanying actions with that. I can tell her I love her all day long. She could be like, "You're just saying that." But if she watches and knows that's what I believe and that's the way I respond and that's what I do, it's not just words. My youngest daughter's here. She knows without a shadow of a doubt I would stop at nothing to protect her if she needed protection. She knows that. Well, how have you proved that to her? I've proved it to her through the years. I'm not saying it's always the best way I've done it. But I've done it. If I could go back, would I do it different? Maybe. Some cases, not. Quick story. One time, she had somebody just harassing her, not in a very good way at work. She did all the right things, went to the people. He just kept doing it. So I said, tell me who he is. Tell me what he looks like. Is he working? Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. So I found him. I walked up to him and said, hey, how are you? He said, I'm fine. Put out my hand. He that's just common. He reached out, he grabbed it. I grabbed his hand, looked at him in the eye, said, I'm Maddie's dad. And then he kept trying to pull his hand away. I wouldn't let him pull his hand away. I said, I just wanted you to meet me. I said, she's very precious to me. And he goes, uh-huh. And I said, I just wanted you to know. I wanted to meet you personally. And then I let his hand go. And he was like, he transferred a week later. Brett, is there a better way you could handle that? Maybe. But we went through the channels. Listen to me. I give you examples from my life because I don't do it perfect. But I'm telling you, there's a system already intact. It's already there. And the more that Kim and I have discovered the blessing of God and his security system and the kingdom, it's opening up a whole nother world of just being able to help more people find God. I challenge you to join me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?